5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, just so we're clear, the Padres won the game. And they advanced, and they're taking on the Dodgers. We've been talking about it all night, and I talked about it. Then I talked about it with George Kurtz, and I talked about it with Mafia, and now I'm telling you again, they won. So don't get caught up in all that other stuff you're hearing. Honestly, I can't. I just can't take it. I can't take that. I just can't take it. I personally, professionally, I can't. Mafia, I can't take it. You know? Did you? Was I not? Just tell people what I was like in the break. Just tell them.
Very hostile, very angry, upset. You want accuracy to the fullest.
Well, I don't know about that. I just wanted to be up to date, like in the moment. Can we get it? Like the game's been over 45 minutes. That bothers me. Can you imagine? And then what? I'm the D. Then I get blamed because I call it out, right? And I'm the bad guy. Okay, whatever. Your mother. Go ahead. Cry to your mommy. Go walk your kitty around the block. People do that? Do they walk cats? I don't even know. I don't think so. We're going to talk to... No? All right. John DeSilva will be on here in a little while talking about a horse race tomorrow. That no one cares about. Really. Listen, I'm going to do my best to make it an exciting event, the Preakness tomorrow in Baltimore. Trust me, I'm going to do my best to make it exciting. Right now, the Lakers are up 10 with 9 minutes to go in game two of the NBA Finals. They were up by at least 16 or 18 at one point. 18 was the biggest lead. Now they're back to 10. And I think people are going to be in big trouble on that number. Well, it landed at 10, right? The spread. Originally, it was 5. Then it went to 7. Then it went to 9.5. Then it went to 10.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So I just want to give you the rundown. I at the very least, I want to say some things bad about people. Would that be all right? Because I can't take, I really can't take watching Danny Green anymore. Is he not always in every NBA finals? Is he not like, I mean, it's just everywhere. Wherever he's been, he's in the finals. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, he's just everywhere. He's like unavoidable. And then I think he's a hack. I really do. I think he's terrible. And I can prove it. Have I not made fun of that guy forever, Mafia? Like that he's just a disaster shooting the rock?
Yeah, you have. It's been a good 3 or 4 years at this point that we've been riding Danny Green shooting.
All right, so he's 1 of 8 from downtown tonight in this game, and he just shot back-to-back bricks from three. And at some point, does anyone ever just finally say, Danny Green sucks. Why is he out on the floor, and why are we letting him shoot? Why do we give him the ball? Why do we let him play? What? Like, if I were the coach, honestly, I have to tell you, I would just be like, all right, enough's enough. Sit down. You suck. I mean, the guy can't hit the broadside of a barn. And I don't even care if he hits the game-winning three today. I'm telling you, 1 of 8 from downtown, does that not say it all? It says it all. I mean, that's it. That's all you need to know. He's taken 8 threes in the game. And he's hit one. He's taken 8 shots in the game. They've all been threes, and he missed. He's made one, and he just missed back to back. And the one that he hit was early in the game. So he hit one early, and then he's just been 0-for since. Donuts. And then how about Pope? He's 1 of 9. He's even worse. 1 of 9 from downtown. Now let's give credit where it's due. Morris hit a couple. Kuzma hit a couple. I think Kuzma has been atrocious in the entire playoff run for the Lakers. I really do, and I'll prove it to you. Rondo, 3 out of 4 from downtown, has 16, 2, and 7. I think that's a big game from Rondo. Caruso's hit a couple. He's got 6, but he's played really tough defense in this game. LeBron's hit 3 threes, 3 of 7, 25, 6, and 9 for King James. And then AD's got 30 and 11. He's 1 of 1 from downtown. And 14 of 17 from the floor. An incredible performance by Davis again. And I always tell you, Mafia, that if he hits for 30, they don't lose. It's impossible to beat the Lakers when Davis has 30 points. He had 34 in game one. He's got 30 tonight. The game's not even over yet. And they're up 10. What's funny is they've been up 10. It's been 111, 101 for like the last 4 minutes. Neither team scored for a few minutes now. It's crazy, right? And then I'm sitting here watching, and they keep giving Green the ball. I want to puke every time I see him touch it. LeBron from downtown, brick. They're just shooting bricks now. I mean bricks. They're shooting 34% from downtown, while the Heat are shooting 41% from downtown. The Lakers overall 52% from the floor, 50% for the Heat, but they're only down 10 with 6 and change left and rolling and the ball, and Butler gets fouled by Davis. So didn't it close at 10, Moff? I think it closed at 10, the number.
Yeah, I believe so.
So when it was at a 7, I wanted it, right? Do you remember when it was at 7 and
It was at 5 during game 1. Right after game 1 it turned to 7. Then by the next morning, it was up to 9, 9.5, and then double digits today, and you know, end of yesterday and today.
And when did I tell you I wanted it?
As game one was finishing, you're like, I want to put it up, bet on it right now. You said it on the show, right on the air. You said right now it's at 5 points, run and get it right now, because the second we find out how bad those injuries are, it's going to go up big time.
And I wanted it at 5 then. And then what did I get it at? 7?
7.
I got it at 7, and then it went to 10 today. So I'm very leery of the 7 covering right now. They're up 12, and now they're up 10 again. Olynyk just had a layup uncontested. So there's 5.5 minutes to go, and I have to tell you. Now, can I just go back? I really want to do this because I'm kind of a D. I want to look at Kuzma because I have watched this guy in the playoffs. So is it just me? So in the postseason, right, I'm guessing this is now. Have they played that many games? Do you think they've played 16 games? Is that what they've played since the beginning of all this? Maybe. I guess that's about accurate. So he's averaging 10. In the regular season, I think he averaged 12, 4, and 1. And then in this game today, he's got 11, 2, and 1. So I guess that's not the worst game in the world. But in the last 10 games, I guess he's averaged 12. This game, 11. So I guess he's doing his normal thing. Against Miami, he's averaged 7. And in the regular season, 12-8. And in the postseason, 10-1. In his career, basically 16-point average. So, and then in game one, he had, I guess, 3 points. And then so he's doing a lot better tonight than he did in game one. I just feel like ever since I saw him in game one and tonight, I missed his 11. Okay. So all I saw him was shooting bricks. And I thought in the playoffs in general, like against Denver and prior to that, I just thought he was invisible. I didn't even think he was like a factor for them at all. Like that he had any kind of a role at all in this team anymore. Because it had become so abundantly clear that it was LeBron and Davis and kind of, you know, let's face facts, Caruso, Rondo, right? Like they're giving Caruso like 20, 24 minutes a game and Rondo's doing his thing. Pope's getting burned. You can't even argue. And they played Danny Green out the Ying. So they just let Danny Green just miss shots every night like that. He just misses so many shots. And they just let him keep playing left and right. And then I'm sure he's got some staggering numbers. I have to look at him because I'm sure I'm wrong. I'm sure he has better numbers than I'm giving him credit for. He's got 3 tonight. He's season averaged 8 tonight. 3, 2, and 2. So 3, 2, and 2 in the last 10 games. He's averaged 6 points against Miami. He's averaged 6.5 points. Tonight, he's got 3 points. And then in the postseason, he's averaging 8 points. Now, if you're, and I got to look at the minutes, he's averaging 26 minutes, right? Mafia, for a guy that's a 3-point shot specialist, and he gets 26 minutes a game, and he's got 3 points, and he's, you know, 1 of 8 from the floor downtown, is that not terrible? Is he not? Performing, because I think he's been terrible.
That is terrible, especially after you come off a game where he hit 3 of them last game. And that's the problem with him is that, you know, you bury him and then all of a sudden he comes out with a good game. You're like, all right, maybe he's going to get it back together because he's a streaky shooter. And he goes right back to awful. I mean, he always has that one game, you know, in every series that makes you think he's actually valuable in the rotation and then just comes right back and makes you wonder why he's even on the roster.
So Caruso's got 6, 2, and 1. And he averaged 5 in the season and basically 2 and 2. And then against Miami, he's averaged 4. In the last 10, he's averaged 5. He's got 6 in this game. Now, in the postseason, he's averaging 6.8 points. In a regular season, 5.5, so he's played even better. And like I said, they're giving him 24 minutes. I think he's just basically a dimer and a defender. I think he's been pretty good. You know, hustling and playing defense. I'll give you that. But I'm not afraid of him either on the floor. but he gives him a defensive presence and hustle and plays his ass off. I'll give you that. But I got to tell you, I mean, seriously, the rest of this team besides LeBron and Davis are really a bunch of hacks. You can't even argue it. The numbers don't lie, do they? So when we come back, we'll talk to John Da Silva real quick about the Preakness tomorrow. So at the very least, you can go to the window and make some bets on the ponies in the last big race of the year, unless they have the Breeders' Cup. I don't even know if they're doing that.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you on a pain-free Friday. John Da Silva joins us now to talk about the Preakness. And I got to tell you, John, we were talking about it earlier. Like, oh, my God, this COVID has ruined horse racing. I mean, it really has. Now, I know that they're running everywhere and people have been betting on tracks everywhere. And you can still, you know, every day go and place bets on ponies everywhere. That's fine. But I'm talking about the damage that it's done to the Triple Crown this year is painfully obvious to me now. I got to get your feeling on it because, like, Mafia said to me this week, he's like, oh, my God, the Preakness is Saturday. That was yesterday. and then I was like, he said, Da Silva reached out. And then I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know it was happening. Now, you know, it's a problem when nobody even knows that it's happening, especially people like us that like it.
Not only us. How would you like it if you're Bob Baffert? You don't even know that they drew the race at 11 o'clock on Monday. Instead, he's having breakfast at Cracker Barrel while the draw is going on.
Well, what does that mean? He missed it?
Yeah, he missed it. He would have been on a Zoom conference call and say he was taking breakfast at Cracker Barrel because he didn't know it was at that time.
How is that possible?
He's not the favorite in the race.
How is that possible?
That's what COVID did. It screwed up everybody's schedule, and everybody's scrambling just to get coverage and try to do things. There's no fans there. There's very little media there because you're not allowed to go to the backstretch. It's a very difficult time for horse racing, just like all sports.
So, you know, Authentic is the favorite, right? And then he's got, does he have two horses going in this thing? What has he got? Has he got Thousand Words? Yeah. Tell me about both of these. Authentic, we saw Authentic run already in one of the Triple Crowns. Did he run in both?
He did not run in the Belmont. He obviously ran the Derby, ran the race of his life, wiring the field. Now, Thousand Words was supposed to run in the Kentucky Derby, but he's a horse that went a little crazy in the paddock, flipped over, and was a late scratch. But he recovered from that, and he's going to run tomorrow. And he might be the key to the race because there's many people out there who expect Thousand Words to put pressure on Authentic. But if you look at his past performances, he doesn't need the lead. He doesn't need to push the pace. And he might be there as a decoy, people thinking he's going to do one thing and he's going to do something else. And by the time these jockeys realize it, it's going to be too late and Authentic could wire the field again.
So take me back to when the horse won the Derby.
Authentic was a horse who was always highly regarded by Bob Baffert, but especially after his race in the Haskell, some people thought he couldn't get the distance. But Baffert, being the trainer that he is, has won this race many times. He got this horse ready to go the distance. He went out to the lead, and then when Tis the Lord made his move on the far turn, he still had enough left in the tank to hold him off and go on for the victory.
So why did Tis the Law not run in this Preakness? Because, I mean, I guess because the whole Triple Crown got screwed up, and once he was out of it, he just said, screw it. What was the plan there? Why is he not running?
The owner wanted to go. The trainer Barkley Tag really did not want to go because there was no Triple Crown. He said the horse wasn't doing that great. He was probably a little bit tired. He had lost for the first time since last November. He was hard used and he wasn't working out that well. So they finally decided to skip the Preakness and just train up to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Now, he did come back with a terrific workout this week, so he could be a factor in the Classic, but as of right now, I don't blame them for what they're doing, because if you have a shot for the 3-year-old championship and the horse of the year, you want a fresh horse for the Classic.
So are they running this thing tomorrow at Pimlico with no fans?
They're running with no fans. 5:36 post, you'll be able to watch it on NBC. There was some talk maybe last minute the governor would allow some fans, but as of right now, I had not heard that to be true. So that's one of the reasons why when they had the early betting, that's usually betting at the racetrack. The betting was so small that they did not release how much money was bet into the pools. They just had the odds from today, which had our collector going up from 4 to 5. But once all the money comes in from all over the country tomorrow morning, you're going to see Authentic going off the favorite.
So what has this done to horse racing, this COVID, with the way it's ruined the schedule and ruined the season and the Triple Crown? And they've had the races, but I mean, there's no one on the face of the earth that even knows that race is going off tomorrow. Thank God we're talking about it, because nobody else is. What's it done to the business?
It definitely hurt horse racing. There are some tracks who have suffered major losses because they couldn't run for certain days. You had places like Colonial Downs that lost over half the meet because they had 7 jockeys test positive for COVID. You had certain jockeys who couldn't ride tomorrow at Pimlico because they had to go through a quarantine where if they rode there, they would have to sit out for 2 weeks before they're allowed back to ride at their local racetrack. So they'd rather ride throughout instead of doing that. So it gives some opportunities to lesser-known jockeys. And in the case of Robbie Alvarado, who picked up the mount of Swiss Skydiver, maybe revive his career, because in the past couple of years, he went to becoming a 5-6% jockey. And this is a guy who at one time was winning great ones. He rode Curlin, among other horses. So a win tomorrow with Swiss Skydiver could revive Alvarado's career.
So tell me about, there's a couple horses, obviously, that the odds say have a shot at this thing. Art Collector, Swiss Skydiver, and the 1,000 Words that you were talking about that could challenge this Authentic. And then there's a couple like New York Traffic that we've seen earlier in the big races, Max Player, and then I saw another one, Mr. Big News, that have, you know, fair to Midland odds at a crack at this thing. What do you think of some of these that are at 5-2 and 6-1?
Art Collector is the one that everyone has fallen in love with. It's a terrific story with what he's done with the small trainer, Tom Drury, getting an opportunity with a big horse. He won the Ellis Park Derby last time on the lead. A lot of people expected him to go to the lead. I think he's going to stalk the pace, try not to get used up early, but he won't be too far back. He's going to be tested for class, and it would be a great story if a small trainer like Drury can get the victory in the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if he's good enough to do it. I mean, I'd love to see it. I'm just not that confident, especially at the price he's going to go off at, which I think probably will be around 3-1 at post time.
How about the Philly, the Swiss skydiver? And then there's some people that don't like the jockey on this horse.
Yeah, some people don't like the jockey. I mean, he's a jockey that he rode some big horses like Curlin in the past and all that. He's also been maligned with some personal issues in his past. The past couple of years, he has not been riding well. He's become a 5-6% jockey, but this could be his opportunity to come back. Now, with Swiss Skydiver, she ran against the boys once, and she ran very well to finish second, you know, when she lost to Art Collector. Now, she does have speed. She might be the one who pushes Authentic early. The one thing I will say about Swiss Skydiver is a second-place finish might actually put her in the lead for the three-year-old Philly Championship at the end. Because if she thinks she's going to win the Breeders' Cup Distaff, it probably isn't going to happen. But she's good enough to be first or second here. She might be the three-year-old champ for Phillies.
Robbie Alvarado on the horse. All right, so respectfully, I got a minute 40. Tell me your picks for this race.
Looking at the race, people going to think that Authentic is going to get tired. I don't see it happening. I think Authentic is going to wire the field. I think Thousand Words is going to surprise a lot of people and run second. Then I'm going to go with Max Player. I mean, this is a horse who has run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and he just seems to be getting better now that Steve Asmussen has him. I mean, he did run fifth last time out, but he was finishing well, so he would be my third choice.
So 9-5-8.
9-5-8.
All right, so any other things that you like in terms of for bettors that you would, you know, any exactas? So I guess 9-5, and then any trifecta or anything else, superfecta that you want to throw out there?
Well, I would definitely use those three horses in the trifecta. The superfecta, because of Authentic winning, probably wouldn't pay that much money. I would play, you know, a couple of other horses earlier in the card. There's a horse I like in the eighth race, you know, who, no, matter of fact, I'm going to give you one that you're going to like.
All right, real quick, John, I got to hurry.
Named after a Landeskog.
Landeskog, like the hockey player. In what race? Seventh race?
Race seven.
And what race is the Preakness?
The Preakness is race 11.
Race 11. So in the seventh race, take Landeskog. All right, John, great stuff. Let's hope the Preakness is great tomorrow. They need it. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight.
Thank you, Scotty. Good luck to everyone.
All right, John De Silva, everybody, on the bench. Right, for on a bench. So it was bad enough that the Cardinals lost for their fans, right, to the Padres tonight. Depressing when your team loses. They're not my team. I can't stand them. But I think that they have quite a history, right? And then to top it off, how unbelievable is that Bob Gibson has died? I know he's old, 84. He had pancreatic cancer. It finally got him. But this guy was absolutely one of the biggest, greatest, most unbelievable pitchers the game has ever known. Without a doubt, Hall of Famer Bob Gibson has passed from cancer. The Cardinals confirmed the death late tonight. According to a report from the New York Times, he's passed. In his 17-year career, he won... you know, he did it all. 9-time All-Star, MVPs, 2 Cy Youngs, 2 World Series MVPs, 2 World Series rings, and an ERA title. He was 251 and 174 with a 291 ERA and recorded over 3,117 strikeouts in 4,000 innings. And everybody says he's the reason they lowered the mound in 69. In 68, he had a record 1.12 ERA. I knew that. 13 shutouts, 268 strikeouts in 300 innings. He had 17 strikeouts in a game one shutout against the Tigers in the World Series that year. They lost to Mickey Loach and the Tigers in that series. He still holds the record for most strikeouts in a World Series game. It wasn't until, it wasn't just the 68 game one that cemented him. In 9 career World Series starts, he was 7-2 with a 1.89 ERA. That's unbelievable. 92 strikeouts in 81 innings. He threw 2 shutouts in those 9 starts. And he got into the Baseball Hall of Fame in his first try in 81 with 84% of the vote. And some people, well, obviously the greatest Cardinals pitcher ever. And that's a huge loss. You lose the series to the Padres, and that's after winning the first game, right? And then you lose the next two. And then to top it off, everybody, before they go to bed, Bob Gibson dies. Talk about having a bad day. Oh, my God. You know, what's crazy is that during that game today, they were actually, and they didn't know he was going to die. They did not report anything about this during that game. But they talked about Bob Gibson in the game. They talked about how great he was. They showed him pitching in that World Series in 68. They also showed Lolich beating him 3 times. The guy won 3 games. And they showed how dominant he was as a Cardinals pitcher. They showed all these great Bob Gibson moments in the World Series. And they talked about how just utterly filthy his stuff was, that nobody could hit him. He had a 1.12 ERA that year. I mean, you think that DeGrom is good? A 1.12 ERA? Can you even fathom that? That's crazy. And then, obviously, his passing is gigantic news in baseball and in St. Louis for sure. So rest in peace. Bob Gibson, the Hall of Fame legendary Cardinal pitcher, has passed away of pancreatic cancer at 84. That is nuts, especially after they just lost to the Padres tonight, and they're finding out about that right now. That's just, on top of everything else, that's got to just be a kick in the onions. I mean, it really does. Speaking of getting kicked in the Satchel Paige area, how about the Lakers tonight not covering that number? It closed at 10 and a hook, and they won by 10. And to top it off, LeBron missed a wide open layup at the end, and the Heat went down and made a layup at the other end to cover with the hook. I, on the other hand, got it at 7. So it started at 5 immediately after game 1, and it moved to 7, then it moved to 9, then it moved to 9.5, then it moved to 10 and 10.5. So I got it at 7. Mafia knows that's documented and accurate and legit. And that's when I got it, and that's when I bought it. He also knows I was on the air on Coast to Coast saying, get it at 5. Get it right now, because they're going to kick their ass. Because right when I saw those guys get injured, Bam and Dragic, I was like, give me game 2 at 5. Boom. And then he went to get it at 5, and it was already at 7. Isn't that what you said happened? You went to get it at 5, and it had already moved.
Yeah, from the game, you know, probably the fourth quarter was when you started calling that out. From fourth quarter until probably 10, 15 minutes after, not even, it was already up 2 points because the books realized their mistake.
But you got it for me at 7.
That is correct. We got it at 7 that night. Right after game 1 wrapped up, we put it up on the site at 7.
All right, so what I want to know is, they're going to play again, right, on Sunday? Is that when the game is? I think the game is going to be Sunday.
It's Sunday, right? Tuesday, now, and then like Saturday.
Okay, right now it's 4.5, so I'll take that right now. Boom. I mean, run, hurry. Hurry. Whatever you do, Bobby, hurry. 4.5 right now. Boom, 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 boom. Lakers 4.5. Are you kidding me? 4.5. Hurry up, Mafia. Mavi has now left the show. He's out running down the street. Mafia, he's not going to waste any time at all. Just pounce on that Mafia. Don't even hesitate. Boom. I know everyone's going to talk. Are you going to listen to Jimmy Butler tell you that the Heat are going to win, just like he told you they were going to win tonight, and they got their ass beat again? Well, are you kidding? So, you know, I'm looking at it right now. These must have been the initial, right? The brand, the initial lines. Well, they don't have Tuesdays up, so they only have Sundays up. I'm looking at it at 4.5 right now. And I know you're looking at it on FanDuel.
Yeah, I'm looking at the FanDuel app, and they already have it at 10.
Wow. I'm looking at it somewhere else, and it's way better than 10.
Now I'm looking on Vegas Insider. They got all the books have it at 10, 10.5.
Every one of them?
Oh, wait, that's they all have it at 10 still, yeah.
Really? All right, so I was looking at it on ESPN, just looking at it right off of the one that I'm looking at. I was looking at the scores, and that's coming off of their odds, where they get their odds. Far be it for me to say the name of it. I might get electrocuted.
Right.
You know what I mean? So my old buddies used to, you know, they're in bed with ESPN, my old friends in the sportsbook business, who are, I guess, no longer my friends, because I'm not allowed to have friends anywhere else now. Apparently I'm on the one-way ticket to where I get my odds. So, you know, keep telling yourself that I only get my odds there. Go ahead and keep telling yourself that. Get my odds wherever the Pharrell I want to get my odds from. How's that sound? No one's going to tell me where to bet. Thanks. So anyway, that makes it dangerous if you ask me, because they didn't cover tonight at 10.5, did they? They got burned at 10.5 tonight. Anybody that had the Heat just won money. But I got better odds than that, so it is what it is. How good are you at fishing? You know what I mean? Fishing out.
Speaking of blowouts, did you see that the trick play that happened that Wake Forest Campbell game tonight?
No, what happened in the Wake Forest Campbell game tonight?
Wake Forest blew them out. They're killing them. I think it was like 45-7 when Campbell pulled this play out. But they shotgun snap it back to the quarterback, and the whole offensive line just jumps down onto their stomachs like they're doing a burpee. He slings it out to the wide receiver, like his screen pass out to the side there, straight, same direction. Right. So all of a sudden the linemen get back up. The wide receiver throws it back to the quarterback, and they run pretty much a screen to the quarterback, wide open, just runs down the rest of the field. So they went from linemen up to on their stomachs to jumping back up and blocking for the quarterback running downfield on a double screen pass.
But they still got whacked.
Oh yeah, they were already getting whacked at that point. That was emptying the bag of tricks when you're down and there's just having fun.
66-14, they lost. And then right now, going on as we speak, I suppose I can watch the end of that game, is BYU beating Louisiana Tech's ass 38-7 at the start of the fourth quarter. BYU kicking ass and taking names. Now 45-7, so they're going to win. They're going to cover, and that'll be that. I just watched the Lakers all night and the Padres. I didn't have time to watch these crappy football games they served up tonight for everybody. You got to admit, both of those games are terrible. Wake Forest and Campbell Soup, are you kidding me? And then Louisiana Tech and BYU. Louisiana Tech, though, I'll never live that down, that they beat Miami in the Independence Bowl 29-0. I still have nightmares about that. So tomorrow, a plethora of games, I think, that are, you know, quality. At least they look decent on paper. Florida, South Carolina. And I have all these games here. You can get all my picks at PharrellOnTheBench.com for college and pros. And as God is my witness and Mafia, who runs my site, he knows this is all straight up. I've done very well in college and pro football already this year. I already have had a 75% day in the NFL 2 weeks ago. 75% of the bets hit, documented. Boom. And so I already hit the Broncos to win on against the Jets last night. to win and the spread. So hopefully Sunday will go off. Don't forget the Steeler-Titan game has been moved to week 7. And then they'll play the Ravens week 8, the Steelers. But tomorrow, South Carolina and Florida. I like Florida there. Tennessee and Missouri. I think I'm going to middle that one. Tennessee to win, Missouri to cover the 12. I'm just looking at these SEC games to start, right? And then Alabama and A&M, I'm going to middle that. Alabama will win. I like A&M with a 17.5. It's 18 now. I'm a little leery. I think Alabama could beat them by 20-21. I'm just hoping Mond shows up and has a performance and plays well in Tuscaloosa and shows that he's somewhat of a good quarterback instead of getting his ass beat all the time. To be honest with you, let's face facts. Ole Miss and Kentucky, I like Kentucky laying. And then Auburn and Georgia. I'm taking onions. Auburn on the road to win. Mississippi State over Arkansas. I'm laying the points. LSU and Vandy. I took LSU, but I think I can't even find it. I'm looking up and down this thing for that game. Oh, I took Vandy and the number. It's 21, 3 touchdowns. LSU should spank them, but I thought they looked like crap. And those are the SEC games. I like Clemson, but I'll take the 28 and a hook with Virginia. That's going to be dangerous. I like Oklahoma and Ames. I like Central Florida laying. I'm just looking at these other games. Duke and Virginia Tech. I like Virginia Tech and laying. That I got it at 10.5. It moved to 13. I like Texas Tech to cover the number. I got it at 3.5. It's 2.5 now at Kansas State. I like SMU to win outright over Memphis. I like Oklahoma State laying against Kansas. I like Cincinnati laying. I like North Carolina, but BC to cover the 14 and a hook against North Carolina in Chestnut Hill. West Virginia, I like at home. Pitt, I like at home. But I'm a little leery. I took NC State in the 2 touchdowns against Pitt. And I think TCU covers the number against Texas. We'll come back and talk to Gabe. I throw on a bench. Anyway, there's a lot of other games tomorrow that aren't, you know, huge in terms of, you know, getting the attention and everything like that. So I have a lot of those games up. Like, you know, I'm just looking at some of them here. East Carolina and Georgia State. East Carolina laying 1. I got them at getting 1 when it opened. Coastal Carolina and Arkansas State. I kind of like Coastal Carolina there. I got it at 3.5. It's at 3 now, where they were getting 3.5, and it moved to them laying 3. And then UAB, I like, but Texas San Antonio getting 3 touchdowns. I like them. They're undefeated. I like that number. I like Liberty laying 30 and a hook. Scary, though. Army, Liberty taking on North Alabama. They suck. They haven't even played a game yet. Army and Abilene Christian, another one. I think Army laying 30 and a hook. They should spank them. Let's hope it comes to fruition. I think I mentioned SMU. SMU's home in Dallas taking on Memphis, and I got it at +2. It's even now, but I got it at +2 when it opened up. I like SMU. They're undefeated so far. So is Memphis, but SMU's played a couple more games than them. And then FAU taking on Charlotte, laying 6. I like FAU. That number was at 9.5 when it opened. It's down to 6 now. And that was one of my favorite plays, Mavi. I don't know how much that affects business. That number changed dramatically, 3 points. So there's a bunch of other ones. Florida State laying 26.5 to Jacksonville State. Florida State sucks, man. Did you see what Miami did to them? It was embarrassing. And then Western Kentucky at Middle Tennessee. Western Kentucky laying 7. They haven't won. Meanwhile, they're laying 7 on the road against a team that's winless, Middle Tennessee. That's crazy. Anyway, get all my pro picks, all my college picks, Mafia's UFC picks, everything at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday on Coast to Coast.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.